So I should say that one of the reasons I'm doing these exotic technologies is, for me, I have spent a lot of time over the last 6 months, I think as I mentioned, studying so-called petaflop computers. These are the computers of 10 years from now, which will reach 1,000 times a day's performance, namely 10 to the 15th operations per second. And so in trying to understand where those architectures are, what they're going to look like, we have tried to analyze technologies and architectures to see where they're moving. I believe there are some relevance to this class, and we'll get onto this later on, because the deduction of these 10-year-out machines is that they will have architectures that are relatively different from today's architectures, and they will have challenges for both algorithms and software, which it is not too soon to think about now, and because there you can see some sort of inkling of these issues in today's machines. And so I believe that, you know, when you think it takes 5 years to build a compiler, if I'm going to tell you the architecture of the computer is going to change in 10 years, it's worth knowing that, because you need to build that into your work. So quantum computing, I really discuss just because I think it's sort of neat, and it's not going to be relevant 10 years from now. There is no way you're going to build a quantum computer of any relevance 10 years from now. So, but 50. However, something you can build 10 years from now, which could be very interesting and very important, is a superconducting computer. And that is one of the most promising architectures for the 10-year-out computer. So here, in a nutshell, is something about superconducting. So this is not, here, remember, I'm talking about technology now, not architecture. This is the unit, the thing we build the computer out of. So this is going to be a radical change. So quantum computing was a technology, because we were building the computer out of different units. Superconducting is a technology, because we're going to build the computing out of totally new things. Although they're actually going to use the same fabrication lines, or essentially the same fabrication lines. All right. So superconductors come in there with some nifty advantages. Namely, they are able to, they're working on a time scale which is essentially a few picoseconds. A picosecond is 1,000th of a nanosecond. If you, I think I pointed out earlier on that the in today's technology, essentially CMOS technology levels out at a nanosecond clock period. At any real, in the next 10 to 20 years, you will not get significantly faster than the clock speed of 1 nanosecond. Today, you're about a third of a nanosecond. I'm sorry, about 3 nanoseconds, 300 megahertz is a typical fast processor today, maybe 400 for the very best. And maybe Pentiums are around 150 to 200. So those will only go up about another fact, you know, go up to 10 to the minus 9 seconds as a clock period. And one of the reasons is that these four are, they're using electrons traveling around effectively in wires in metal to communicate information, and there's resistance. And as you make the feature size smaller, the importance of that resistance gets more and more important, and essentially in today's technology, you've now reached the point of diminishing returns. Up to now, clock speeds keep going down, because as you reduce feature size, the wire lengths go down. So that says your typical time goes down, because if you have a constant velocity. After you make the feature size get smaller and smaller, the resistance goes up, and so this is part of the effect is diffusive, your time period, your fundamental clock period will start going up again, or will be limited. So CMOS is sort of limited roughly to a nanosecond. So superconducting is interesting, and this is its fundamental advantage, is just much faster. Superconductors have no resistance, because that's the nature of that's what superconducting means. There is no resistance to the motion of a superconductor. So that says that, so if you look into the sort of practicalities, it says there's no fundamental reason why you can't have clock periods which are just a few times 10 to the minus 12. So this is several hundred times faster than a traditional current type of technology. And that performance is true for both the superconducting logic gates and for the superconducting wires. Both of those can increase in performance. You build these things out of niobium, and you can build niobium chips, high integration chips, using essentially the same technology, same fabrication techniques as CMOS. Josephson, who invented superconducting junctions, these very straightforwardly allow you to effectively build transistors with this technology. So you have switches. But IBM and, in fact, Japan cancelled all their work in this area. IBM in 1983, Japan in 1990. So